A rainy Thursday in Tallytown, is it not? Please drive safe if you're out there meandering about. And welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. So good to have you at the other end of the radio waves and the telephone lines and the email machine and the Twitter device and the multiple ways we have to communicate with each other today. And your communication, always welcome. Telephonically at 414-1234. If it's local, long distance is 800-926-8809. Email Perspectives at WFSU.org or send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. 10 years ago, a small but downright determined group of folks in Tallahassee launched a campaign to make the area's public and private sector workplaces a lot healthier than they had been before. And early efforts included, well, your standard wellness goals. Most of us are familiar with them. Things like encouraging employees to lose weight and stop smoking and exercise more and all that. But those objectives, as important as they are, soon expanded to encompass, I guess we could say, a more holistic approach to workplace wellness. So this morning on Perspectives, we are not only going to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the Working Well Initiative locally, but we're also going to talk about what lies ahead and how very simple and cost-effective, in some cases no cost, protocols can make the places where we work a lot healthier and happier and more productive and all that. So let's say hi first, and we'll start with my right and your left as you're looking at the radio. Mary Weller, Business Health Manager for Capital Regional Medical Center. Mary, so good to see you.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
We also have with us Melissa Dancer-Brown, Director of Colleague Health and Wellness at Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare. Hey, Melissa.
Hello.
Okay. We'll talk about Negan, who's hanging out here on the side here in just a moment. But that's after we say hello to an old friend and a very dear colleague in the whole process of making the places where we work a lot less stressful and nicer places to be. Mary Barley, now Working Well Executive Director and in the thrall of Leon County government, you are.
Quite an interesting combination, yes. I'm very lucky I got to go from the broader perspective of trying to get the community healthier to getting one organization healthier, although it's 1,700 people, so it's not a small task. But it was really interesting because I think I specifically remember when we started the Star Awards for Working Well. You know, I, along with a few other board members, made that application so difficult. When I finally went to work at Leon County, I was like, oh my gosh, who wrote this? What was I thinking at the time? Executing it. So it's been a real eye-opener to be able to be in the trenches and really see what it takes to get employees healthier and to run a successful wellness program. So it's been a journey, and it's been a wonderful one.
A 10-year journey, Mary B. And did you suspect when, and I remember when you first started talking about this, it was tapping into, you know, a larger program and getting a grant, and thought, oh, we'll see how this takes off with that first Working Well CEO breakfast, lo, those many years ago. Maybe a couple dozen people will show up and it might catch on. Mm-hmm. It has become huge. Talk about the latest one here just a couple weeks ago.
Well, just to go back to what you said about the first one, we really didn't expect that many people because when other people had done this around the country, the most they ever got at a CEO breakfast was 30 people. And, Tom, we had 50 people at that first breakfast. And that was such a testament to this community and how much they care about health and well-being individually as the CEOs, because most all of our CEOs really work hard at being in shape, but how much they care about their employees and their health and well-being too. And now the last 3 years for the breakfast, we generally have between 150 to 175 people that come out really early in the morning to celebrate with us and to hear the latest trends in worksite wellness. So it's been wildly successful. Our speaker this year was Atwell Coa, you know, when we started our initiative, and he was just overwhelmed with what we have accomplished in this community and how it's been sustained, because most of the others fell by the wayside across the country. So, again, that's a testament to our community.
Well, it really is. And Mary Weller, if I can ask you here about Capital Regional, because, of course, we expect our healthcare institutions to be promoting wellness and all. I will recall just, and it was not any either of the hospitals here in Tallahassee. This was back in my home of Western Maryland, but it used to aggravate my wife so much that she would go in to a, whether it was a doctor's office or a clinic or a hospital and serious things, and would see out of shape workers in the hospital, and she just said, that would just gripe her. You know, how can they expect us to be healthy when they look like that? And she'd really get off on that. But talk about the program that you have at CAP Regional. What are you guys doing?
Well, it is true. It's unfortunate that so many of our healthcare workers are so busy looking after everybody else that they're not looking after themselves. And we also are predominantly female at our workplace. And again, females are just like that. They're used to taking care of everybody else. What we did, and as Mary knows now that she's in the trenches, because, you know, most of us all have outside jobs that we're doing as well, and I work with businesses in the community. So on my spare time, I work with some of our employees, and what we did was we offered a fitness or wellness challenge each quarter. Something different. So we had something in front of the employees every quarter, and we were talking about either trying to move more, trying to eat better. We did Eat Right for Life, and we also were trying to reduce stress, and then we tried to combine it all at the end with the Healthy Holiday Challenge that put all those things together.
Okay. Over at Tallahassee Memorial across town, Melissa Dancer-Brown, what do you guys do? And yeah, talk a little bit about how your program works there.
Yeah. Well, we have a variety of different programs and services that kind of make up our entire program. So we do some standard things like Weight Watchers and other weight management programs. We have done beginner running programs to prep people for the big things like Springtime Tallahassee and Turkey Trot. Lately, we've really worked on some stress management programming, and we're using mindfulness-based programming where we teach really simple techniques like deep breathing exercises and focusing on your inner strengths and how to build those resources and some kind of really basic tools that we can teach people that they can use in the moment, because we find that stress is a huge factor for our employees. We, of course, have Premier Health and Fitness available to us, so we provided great discount for our employees for that, which a lot of people take advantage of. So we do a whole variety of different things.
Yeah, I'm expecting David Wheeler to call in at any moment now. You know, weigh in on
it. I had to give that pitch.
Well, I remember a previous workplace I was involved with, which was the old telephone company here, which began as Southeastern Telephone, became Centel, and then became Sprint, and then, you know, it eventually wound up being CenturyLink here. We had something in the mid-90s when the first wave, I guess, of workplace wellness craze hit that was called the Sunshine 100 Club. And you could amass points if you exercised a certain number of minutes a day or walked a certain number of miles a week. You had dietetic objectives to avoid the snack machines in the break room, and you get extra points for fresh fruits and vegetables and all. And you'd accumulate points, and you could get fabulous prizes or, you know, maybe a day off from work. It was terrifically successful and popular with the employee base. During breaks, instead of hanging out smoking in the back, you'd see these people trucking all across town to, you know, jog in the 15 minutes that they had on a break. And then it sort of crashed and burned. A lot of these programs don't have a great deal of longevity. What happens, Mary Barley? Why do – does it become just too much for folks to handle, or the employers say, oh, heck, there's no great profit motive in this? Or what goes wrong?
You know, I really believe that the health and well-being programs of the past, two things. They were too focused. One, they were too focused just on eating properly and exercising. And you mentioned how much more holistic health has become. And based on an extensive study done by Gallup Healthways, you know, they found out that there really are five areas of well-being. So besides the physical, you know, you've got to look at community and career and social and financial. Financial creates so much stress. You know, you want to feel a part of the community that you live in. And there's so many events in the community, like you said, that you can participate in. You know, they say the number one reason people love their job is if they have a best friend. So social is really important. At work and relationships, and really career well-being is the number one. And as a result of that, you know, the emphasis kind of got off of the employees. Initially, it was about healthcare costs going up, and it was about, okay, we want you now to lose weight, stop smoking, quit drinking so much, and do all these things, so our healthcare insurance will go down. So the responsibility was all on the employee. Well, now they realize that if an employee goes into a toxic work environment 40 or 60 hours a week, they're not going to be healthy because, like Melissa says, stress is the number one driver of health care costs. So now it's interesting there's more emphasis for the employer to, you know, create an organization and a culture of health and well-being so that it's easier for the employee to do that. So I think we learned from that. It's not just about there was too much responsibility on the employee and it was too narrow focused. And so what you see now, what you saw at CEO Breakfast this year, was that much bigger picture of what the organization does and how the two tie together.
Yeah, the chief presenter for this year's CEO Breakfast for the Working Well program, a guy by the name of David Honeycutt, who is a nationally, actually an internationally known consultant when it comes to sort of dissecting what are some of the drivers of those stressors at workplaces and cause that toxic workplace environment that you're speaking of. One thing that he brought up I thought was phenomenal was the Shackleton expedition, which was the trek to Antarctica that many of us remember in history, back when history used to be a thing in school. Remember that? And then they stopped because of standardized testing needs or something like that. But the adventure of this gentleman and his 28 companions who got on this ship, went to Antarctica. Their ship was crushed like an egg in ice floes. They had to trek hundreds of miles across the frozen wilderness. In fact, I think that wasn't there a takeoff on the Shackleton expedition that you see now on TV? It's where these grizzled explorers finally reach the North Pole and Dora the Explorer and the monkeys there to greet them.
That's right.
I kept thinking of that when David was talking about the expedition, but how in the face of absolutely insurmountable odds and challenges, these folks made it across this frozen wasteland, and they all survived. This is just such an incredible story to show what can be done if people are properly motivated and in what you would think would be the most toxic or perhaps even most lethal of workplaces, meaning Antarctica, they were able to survive and thrive and do what they had to do because they were so well motivated, and it was a terrific tale. We'll talk more about that and also just how to make your workplace maybe a little bit healthier and more productive on the other side of the break here on Perspectives. 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809. If it's long distance, we'll be right back. How many times have you said, boy, I work in such a toxic environment. It's so full of stress and terrible, horrible things. And you come home and you just want to cry, drink, whatever. That is probably a good indicator that you do not have a well workplace. And so we're talking about ways to make your workplace weller, better, anyway, more healthy here on Perspectives today with Mary Weller from Capital Region Medical Center, Melissa Dancer-Brown from Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare, and Mary Barley, Working Well Executive Director, and now in the comforting confines of the Leon County Administration. But that was a fun meeting yesterday, too, that we had over there that Matt called.
That was amazing. Yeah. It really was good.
Yeah, and we'll share something with you before we get back to the discussion. If you go on YouTube and you put in Heinz Ketchup Super Bowl 2016, you will see one of the cutest ads in history, the running wiener dogs. That's all I'm going to tell you. Too many hot dogs are not a healthy thing either. Mary Weller, getting back here to the more holistic approach here of well working in an environment, which is, I mean, a hospital has got to be one of the highest stress situations in the world. Most of us are not in life and death circumstances in the workplace, but that's the trade of a hospital. So what can you do to kind of reduce the stress levels on employees when the nature of the job just that comes with the territory?
I mean, so many jobs are stressful, but yes, at the hospital, particularly some employees have to go through a lot more stress. If they're in the ER and they're having to deal with that, or an ICU, I know because I work with some employees who used to work in the ER, and I know that that environment is high adrenaline, and some people feed off that. And I think that whenever you're looking at individuals, you can see that you can put the same person two different people in the same situation, and one person will be charged up by it and get the adrenaline rush and enjoy that, and then other folks, it would be too much. It would be too stressful for them. So it's how the individual is able to handle that stress in particular. I will let you know that just recently, I want to bring this up, that there was another Gallup survey that did show that 32% of the employees in the United States are not engaged in their work that they're doing. So basically, only 32% are feeling that they're engaged. So we've got about 50% that are not engaged and another 17% who feel like they're disengaged. So it's happening all across the board. And some of the things that that are important is that somebody feels like they have something to contribute, their opinion is valued, and that they're valued as well, and that their workplace encourages their development. So those are some things that employees, employer groups can do to help their employees feel more engaged.
And how to – bounce off you here, Melissa, Dancer Brown, you – how do you get buy-in from the very top? Because you've got to have that support. We all talk about, it's a groundswell. It's a bottom-up approach to this. But you got to have the folks who are in charge to say, yes, this is important. This is a priority, and we're behind it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just like David Honeycutt brought out so well in his presentation last week. It's this organizational resiliency is the benefit that organizations get from all of this. And it's not, as I'm listening to Mary talk, it really is an organizational approach. Wellness is not a program. It has to be integrated into the whole system. And so, for example, you want to hire right job fit. Like Mary said, you've got one person who's going to do great in the ER and you've got another person who's not. Well, we have to figure that out from the start, or we have to fix it if we don't have good job fit. So you've got HR involved in a big way in employee or colleague, we call our employees colleagues, in their wellness. It's management training. It's making sure that you've got managers who know how to support their staff and know how to run the group and make it work. And the social well-being is huge. You've got to have teams that fit together. So I find a lot of, we do a lot of programs that support employee wellness, but then a lot of these structural things are really the bigger players in whether or not that individual feels well and engaged and wants to come back to work the next day, and whether the organization is functioning at the best level.
There's got to be a bigger challenge now, too, because you've had so many organizations that because of the need to maximize revenue, shareholder value, blah, 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 all that kind of thing, you have seen reductions in the workforce. Mm-hmm. We have seen it in the public sector, mm-hmm. right here in town, a number mm-hmm. of state agencies. We had a story on, Ronald Jay was talking about it this morning, the reduction in the Florida Department of Health, particularly in the county health departments. Those mm-hmm. positions are going away, but the workload is, if not staying the same, is actually increasing. Mm-hmm. That is stress. You have employers who say, look, I don't care that you can't – this isn't your primary responsibility. I need you in this job today. Get your butt over here and get to work. People bouncing off of those things. So in theoretically looking at these things, this is possible. We can do this. But employers look at it and say, it's going to cost me money. It's going to reduce productivity. It reduces the flexibility I have to deploy my workforce as I see fit. This sucks. I can't buy into that. Mary, is that what sometimes you hear the pushback?
Oh, yeah. The sad thing about it is this doing more with less, has kind of now become a badge of honor that some organizations are holding on to because you had to deal with it, during the recession. And so, I think most employees hope that as times get better that, we can go back to having a little bit more help. But, yes, that has probably been one of the biggest causes of stress in organizations, in the last several years because of that very thing. But, some of the things that that employers can do to help the employees get through that and not have as much stress as first? You know, they've got to be trustworthy. You know, the employees are already stressed out worrying about, you know, what's going to happen. So they need to be forthcoming. Now, they can't tell all the details of everything. But, you know, employees who are in fear of their jobs or who are in fear of, you know, not being told what the real story is huge. So trust is huge. Appreciation, and David touched on this, Dr. Honeycutt, about how critical appreciation is. So when you're working that hard and you're doing the jobs of two or three people, your employer better let you know how much they appreciate what you do, you know, and there's multiple ways you can do that. And then the third key component of what an employer can do, you know, to help create a better sense of well-being and a culture of well-being is to, you know, give autonomy to the employees. They have all this work to do. Let them figure out, give them direction, but let them figure out how to do it best based on their strengths, like Melissa mm-hmm. talked about. So when people are being micromanaged and they're not being valued and they're not, their opinion's not being appreciated and they're contributions are not being appreciated, and then you've got all that, I mean, extra stress and workload, that's when employers become totally disengaged. And again, that's why there's so much more responsibility now on the organization and the culture that's created. I just have to tell you a funny thing, and I think it's the cutest thing in the world, but First Commerce Credit Union now has what's called a position called the Queen of Culture. And all she does is work on trying to make the culture better for their organization. And that's how critical it's become. And the employers that are seeing that are the ones that are going to be the high profit, you know, are they going to be the ones that are making the money, and they're going to be the ones that have high retention rates for their employees, and they're going to be ones that have a workplace of choice where people want to go work.
Article in Fortune magazine just a couple months ago, I think, backs up exactly what you were saying. In an ever more competitive environment, and you just look at, let's just say, the number of fast food burger joints we suddenly have seen in Tallahassee just, you know, pop up like mushrooms after the rain. If you like mushrooms on your hamburger, there you go. Just in the past couple of months, those in a very competitive environment like that, that will thrive, will stand out, that will attract more customers and more repeat customers, are the ones whose workforces treat customers better.
Exactly.
And the best way to do that, according to the magazine, and if I'm not mistaken, what I'm hearing you say, are those organizations that value their employees, and that culture then of valuing the customer also just shotguns right through. They'll stand out. The other folks, you know, if they're treating their people like dirt, there's a high likelihood the customers will be treated likewise.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head.
Right. If people are happier, then they're going to treat their customers better as well. And just what Mary was saying about making sure that you feel committed and that you're doing the things that you do best and that you have some purpose in what it is that you're doing. And people who are in healthcare, you know, they're there for a purpose. You know, they're wanting to do that. But these people who are – when we say that they're not engaged, it's – they're still showing up to work. They're just kind of checked out. They are like looking at their clock and saying, when is lunchtime or when is 5 o'clock get here? They're not going that extra mile because they're not as enthusiastic about what they're doing. So it's a way to get them more checked in.
Yeah, and I think Dr. Honeycutt's addressed that too in his talk during the CEO Working Well Breakfast, saying that in some cases, you hate to say it, but those folks really, really do need to move on and find mm-hmm. something that they want to do because they're it's a drain on the whole organization. It's certainly a negative impact on their coworkers. What do you think, Melissa?
Oh, absolutely. It's been one of the most successful things we've done at TMH is try to kind of harness this energy that we have from people we call champions. So every month we nominate, anybody can be nominated for a wellness award, and they can be exhibiting wellness in any one of those five areas of well-being that Mary was talking about. And we get the most amazing stories. And we found that it's infectious. You know, people are just so excited by what other people are doing. And then we have whole departments who, you know, they start all helping each other. In fact, the one, Delia Edson, who received the Star Award last week, her story is incredible. And she has been just such a star at TMH. I mean, people recognize her walking in the hallway and walking outside, and people get so excited about her story. And we have so many more just like her that have just done done all these wonderful things. And so I think that culture is huge, and it does play out. You know, really what we want is people I think good leaders understand that a person who's disengaged is a drain. Not only are they not productive, but they generally are pulling everyone else in their area down. And so we really do have to kind of garner this excitement in people who are doing well, and they do. They feed on everyone else. So.
Well, Cabot Originals had some winners too there, Mary Weller. So how do you celebrate that internally? Is it just, you know, a little blurb in the newsletter that goes out on email, or do you have some other things that you do?
Well, we have a recognition award program that's called Proud to Be CRMC. And so every quarter we have individuals in different categories who receive recognition. We have a gathering, them all get together, and then they get a monetary award as well, and they get their picture framed in the hallway. So those are the things that we're doing, and compassion and recognition and highlighting our employees in that way. And we've done the wellness champions in the past too. Mm-hmm. When Melissa used to work with me, she was one of our wellness champions when she worked in our nutrition program. So those are important. And that's one thing that Working Well does is we give employers an opportunity to recognize their employees through our STAR Awards, through the Inspiration Award, and all the stories that – and I know you were there, Tom, that you heard from those individuals. And Tina Moore Baker was ours, and then mm-hmm. Rose Sutton at Leon County. They all just have great stories, and these folks do inspire others because of the things that they're doing at the workplace as a result of the programs that we're putting on.
Well, Mary Burley, you have, you know, two huge institutions, our local hospitals. You also got Leon County, City of Tallahassee, the big employee groups that maybe have a designated wellness person. They may have a bit of a budget, resources to pull this off. I'm thinking of the little shop that maybe has 4, 5, 6 employees. Can they do stuff like this, or is this well beyond them?
Well, you know, that's so interesting because that's been a challenge really with Working Well from day one. It is so much easier to touch the bigger groups, you know, because even if they don't have a designated wellness coordinator, they've got enough people that they can put together a wellness team and, you know, of up to maybe 12 or 15 people, and the work can get shifted. But we have looked at that in several ways, and in the last couple of years we've tried to do a couple of things to bring in those smaller groups, because 85% of the chamber members are 10 employees or less. So like the Corporate Cup Challenge that we do every year, we really encourage we actually this year went to the leads group, which are usually in the chamber, the smaller businesses, and, you know, encourage them to put teams together from their leads group. So in case they're the only employee, you know, in their company, they've got other people they can choose from. We also created a category of, you know, people from the community that could come together if they weren't part of a larger organization. And then we also realized that we were lucky enough to get $25,000 from Florida Blue and the Childhood Obesity Prevention and Education groups over the last couple of years. And we worked specifically on creating a really simple guide for businesses under 50 that they could use when they only have one person without a lot of time, you know, who doesn't have a lot of knowledge about wellness. And it's like, okay, here's what you can do. Here's some sample examples of, you know, how you can write a policy or what kind of environmental changes you can make or what kind of activities to do. So we really have tried to address that Working Well has in the last couple of years, because we know that's really the majority, not just in Tallahassee, but across the country, is small businesses.
Well, it's not only just in the business environment, but you touched on something, Mary, I think is really connected to certainly the folks at this table and beyond, but that is to get to the base population before they even hit the workplace. We do have some great initiatives here in Tallahassee, Leon County when it comes to preventing childhood obesity. The school district is really hot on this one right now with the and the initiative escapes me right now, but it has numbers.
95210.
There you go. That's
right.
The one. But that has gotten real pervasive. You have schools now that have their own vegetable gardens. You've got right. All of these things that are going on, and it just seems to be the ability to shift this awareness and these behaviors as soon as possible to the kids. This is going to take some of the pressure off of you guys when they get to the workplace. They're already going to be a bit healthier than otherwise they would be.
True, but one of the reasons that COPE and Florida Blue chose us to have those grants is our ability to impact the community through the workforce, because I think we have about right around 141,000 people that are employed in Leon County, and the average size of the home is 2.35 people. So if you've got, you know, half of the workforce, more than half the workforce, I mean, the community working and impacting two, you know, at least two people in their home, then we're touching a huge group of people through the workforce, teaching them to be healthier.
Before we go to break, an email just came running in here. Let me just move this around here. Here we go. As a lifelong health promotion disease prevention professional, I want to congratulate you for the program today. Wellness is such an important part of a healthy lifestyle and improved quality of life that it cannot be overemphasized. We've developed an intranet website here for our employees at the Department of Corrections, which focuses on timely topics in the areas of health, wellness, and nutrition. An additional effort, which I've been fortunate to be involved in, is writing a weekly blog on health, wellness, and nutrition for the Tallahassee Democrat. Truthfully, the area of wellness includes a wide, diverse set of behaviors, and one of the best ways to impact that is to educate our employees on valid, evidence-based best practices. So I just wanted to send this in support of the efforts that you've been undertaking and congratulate the 10th anniversary of the Working Well Initiative. Is that not awesome or what?
Yeah, I know who that came from. Thank you. If it's you, I won't say your name.
Well, I think that's something we need to also acknowledge. And if you are involved with another public or private sector wellness program here in the area, why don't you give us a call or send us an email. Email, of course, perspectives at WFSU.org. Phone is 414-1234 local, or if you're way out in the hinterlands, 800-926-8809, and we'll be right back. When you consider all the hours you put in at your place of employment, it kind of behooves us to make sure that those hours are not only productive and all of that, but also are maybe halfway enjoyable. To many folks, that's almost an alien concept. If you have had a whole bunch of, or even just one, toxic workplace in your experience, you can think that, oh, man, there's nothing worse than work. I can't wait until 5 o'clock, 4:30, whatever rolls around, and I'm out of here, and I don't have to worry about it until tomorrow. But that's really kind of a sad way to go through life, just waiting for the workday to end. It's a lot more fun if you can, boy, man, I can't wait to get in there. I got so many things I want to do today, and I'm so pumped, and I'm so stoked, and it's going to be great. And yeah, some of the stuff is going to be terrible, but that's okay. I can get through that because the good stuff counterbalances it. And one of the ways of contributing to the good stuff is to have a healthy workplace to begin with and not just to, you know, dump the fatty, salty snacks in the break room machine, but also to be more a part of what is going on, to be more engaged, to be more just a holistic approach to workplace wellness, which, Mary Barley, that is where you guys are going now. It's not, you're not going to give up on the nutrition and right, the exercise and all, but it's got to go beyond that.
Yeah, and again, you know, it's a combination, just like Melissa said, you know, it's integrated. And one of the things Working Well is doing now, you know, David's topic was on organizational resiliency. And last year at the breakfast, we had Dr. Roland McCready from HeartMath, and he talked about the importance of individual resiliency. And, of course, you know, all these little individuals will help create organizational resiliency. So one of the things Working Well did this last year was we started teaching to the community, whether you're a small business or a large business, you know, you just sign up so individuals can come, a class called The Resilience Advantage by HeartMath that they created. And it is an evidence-based program. It's one of the few in the world. We're supplementing it now, you know, more by encouraging mindfulness in the workplace, which is a lot of what is taught in the HeartMath class. So we hope we have another one starting soon. We hope that people will go to the workingwelltoday.org website and look at that. It's a great way to start, you know, if there are specific individuals that want to come from your organization. But we also really encourage our managers, the managers and supervisors, to do that because they are the stewards of organizational energy and resiliency and well-being. And, you know, just like Melissa talked about getting the right people on the bus, getting the right seats, you know, people in the seats, that's really important. But part of what happens if you don't, you've got to have strong managers and supervisors mm-hmm. with what turns out to be emotional intelligence is a lot of what you learn through learning to be more resilient, so, you know, resilient. That's really important for organizations. And so Working Well can do this. We do these community groups where anybody can come to the HeartMath class, or we can go into the organization. And, you know, if you've got enough people that you want to do to have a class, we can do it in there. So we encourage people to look into the HeartMath program that Working Well is offering in the community because it is about teaching resiliency. And, it's, again, especially you get your frontline people learning that, and your managers and your supervisors, and it'll start to trickle down through the organization.
And for the benefit of the folks who didn't hear, because we did a bunch of stories on the HeartMath thing when it rolled out last mm-hmm. year, the using metrics and having, as you said, evidence-based, empirical, this is what's going on in the cardio world. It's not just the blood pressure and what your pulse rate is. There are a lot more metrics that have to be brought into this, and you actually have a way to track your overall stamina and ability to withstand stress and all that from real numbers that you can get out of the old heart.
You have a great memory. You're right. They have created some really great technology, a biofeedback unit that you can either hook up to your iPhone or your iPad, or you can get a handheld unit called an M-Wave. And the metric is heart rate variability. You're looking at heart rate variability and how that changes. And it shows how your physiology is being affected by stress. And it also shows how quickly you can flip that physiology, you know, from draining all of the energy in your system to enhancing, well, I say it enhances your health instead of, drains your health, you know. So, and again, it's really about paying attention to what you're feeling emotionally and being able to flip those emotions quickly or to just let them go like we do a lot in mindfulness.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of monitoring your alpha waves and saying, okay, how can I impact this? Mm-hmm. And I thought, that is just so cool. And the recovery changes as you really get into the program, because that's what it's all about. You have a stressor in, yeah, blood pressure is going to go up and the adrenaline pumps and all those other horrible mm-hmm. things, which can, over the long haul, if your body doesn't come down from that, you literally start to eat yourself alive from the inside out. Whereas if you have a way of monitoring this and seeing how you actually can impact this, you can recover, snap back, and go, okay, next problem, boom, and it doesn't have that impact.
And that's somebody that is resilient. That's somebody that's able to re-engage quickly when you get unengaged, because you're going to get unengaged during the day. I mean, it's just too much stuff coming at you, you know. But it's that ability to bounce back. And HeartMath uses the definition of preparing for it. So let's say you know that you're going to work that day and you're going to have a stressful day because of this, that, or the other, you know. It's like, I'll never forget, I was teaching the class to the tax collector's office, and one girl said, on Friday I wake up and I prepare myself because that's the day everybody's going to have to come in and pay their taxes, and you're going to have people crying and telling you that they can't feed their children today because of you. And, you know, I have to prepare myself mentally not to let it get me down and to remember to be kind and be nice. And so that preparing, you know, when you know that you're going to have a stressful day so that you're not caught off guard by it, you know, it's that, and then recovering as soon as you have a really stressful incident.
Yeah, and again, back to the hospital, Mary Weller, it's not just the ER folks. You know, I've seen – a number of people, whether they're doctors, nurses, techs, whatever, and they are just so emotionally engaged in their work that they take a direct body blow every time something bad happens to a patient. And if someone dies, any bar the door. I mean, it's devastating to these people. They take it really personal.
They do. They take it hard. And my background is physiology, and so I know just what you're saying. When people are under stress, those hormones are being emitted. It's called the fight or flight, you know. And so what happens is all those chemicals, the glucose and catecholamines and all of those are getting released into your system. And our bodies are made to do that quickly. You know, you think about a deer. They hear a rustling and they'll shake a little bit and then they run off and then they forget about it. But we as humans, we don't forget about that stress because it's psychological. And we're not meant to hold on to that stress for hours and hours throughout the day. It causes wear and tear in our body and can cause disease. So the heart math that Mary's talking about is really important. And we actually had one of our risk manager went through the heart math training. And I don't know if I told you, Mary, but she went back to our director's meeting and was teaching everybody how to do deep breathing. You know, that was right. Part of it. It's just getting yourself to calm down because those things do happen. You feel your heart rate increasing and you feel your body getting hot and all of those things to be aware of your body and what's happening and also be aware of your thoughts because your thoughts trigger those things. And just like we can think of a stressor and become stressed and not actually have the physical stress in front of us. We have it in our minds. So the heart math training is important, and I'm glad that we're offering that to the community through Working Well.
Well, we were talking about Melissa Dancer Brown talking about the big bosses, but you also have managers at many different levels, particularly in a huge organization like Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare. How do you get the buy-in there, and how do you change those behaviors so that they do not become part of the – or continue to be part of the problem by providing more stress to the people they supervise?
Mm-hmm. Well, thankfully, I think we work together really well with our different departments. We have in the last couple of years, we've offered a program that I thought was great that actually wasn't intended to focus on wellness but really did. It was called Crucial Conversations, and it was a management training on how to have difficult conversations, whether it be with your peers or with your staff or with the executives, you know, whoever you're dealing with. And so that was really interesting to me when I went through that training and in my group that I was in, we had a lot of discussions about wellness because it lended itself so well in that direction. Monthly we have leadership meetings where we support each other. We do a lot of trainings where we talk to managers on how to support their staff. We have a wonderful employee assistance program where that is on site, and we have physical counselors, which a lot of organizations I know don't have that luxury. So that's a great way for individuals to go and see a counselor if they need, or for managers to refer if there's an issue, because a lot of times, you know, people are having struggles at work. That may look like disciplinary issues, but really it's because the person is having personal issues that they need some help with. And that doesn't always come out unless you've got managers who are trained in picking that up and then there's a referral mechanism in place. So we're really fortunate in that way as well.
And that's something that I think even smaller organizations can avail themselves of. There are some independent EAP or employee assistance mm-hmm. program providers in the area, and it may cost a couple bucks, but boy, the results can be well worth it.
Right. And we actually offer that. TMH does contract with quite a few employers in the community to do that, and it's a great service.
I'm thinking in the few minutes we have left here, can you give you a moment here to think of a particular success story from the Working Well program? I know that there are dozens, hundreds perhaps, that you could pull out of the air, but one that maybe just sort of leaps out at you and thinks, oh, I remember that. That was so transformative. That was so cool.
There's
so many. No. Well, you know, I guess I go back to our awards. It's just really hard to talk about one. The war, and Mary and Melissa were instrumental in changing our award program the last 2 years, and they just did a wonderful job. They came up with the recognition, which recognizes the companies, you know, for having their wellness programs. Then there's an innovation and an inspiration award. And since Mary actually presented those this year, Mary, you've got all the verbiage down. Why don't you explain those two right. awards? Because so much came up in what we're going to do with the roundtable
right.
meeting.
Right. And I do want to mention the roundtable meeting is coming up on February 16th. We're going to meet at Premier Health, and that's our Working Well roundtable. And we're going to let some of our recognition award winners present some things that they're doing and share at their workplace. Because there are, as we mentioned, all the different areas of well-being, you know, like one group does a brown bag game day that they sit down and, you know, having friends at work and all those things are important. So they're going to bring up some of their innovative ideas. But the recognition awards have some kind of wellness written in their policy. They have created environmental changes that support workplace wellness, and they also identify two goals that they're going to work on and let us know how those goals went. The Innovation Award goes out to a group who is just doing something outside the box, something that's not your everyday average wellness program that you think of. And so we got to highlight three of those this year. And then the Inspiration Award is, as we mentioned, either somebody who has maybe lost a lot of weight or changed their lifestyle so such that they have inspired others, or that they are encouraging others by getting them involved in some worksite wellness program or on their own. And all the three that we did actually did a combination of those two things. So that's what those awards are. And we'll be giving them out again. And we'll have those on the website also for people to apply for.
You can't celebrate too much. Melissa Dancer Brown, anything you guys are that you can think of that was, oh, boy, that really just hit me when that happened.
Yeah, I think Corporate Cup Challenge is always a huge TMH employees love it. It's been really exciting for us the last few years. We always have quite a few teams. I think last year we had 9 or 10 teams compete. A couple years in the past, we got the cup, but we lost it this past year, so we're eager to get it back. But that's always – it's a big time of year for us, and people get really excited about it. We get some pretty competitive teams, and then just some recreational people who want to participate for the fun of it. And so I think that's one of Working Well's kind of premier fun events.
Yeah, it is. And this year it was really interesting. Thomas Howell Ferguson competed for the first time, mm-hmm. four, and they won. And right before the breakfast, we found out that they're taking this big, beautiful corporate cup everywhere they go, to conferences, to the FSU basketball games, all over town. And they talk about the corporate cup and they challenge people. And we were like, oh, my gosh, thank you for promoting this for us. So we brought them up on stage and let them talk about it. And now I think that might be having the bragging rights for that might really be a big thing in town, you know, from here on out. So it's just fun to see how enthusiastic and excited that this new, you know, business was about it.
And they were up against some really heavy competition. Again, yeah. You have hundreds and hundreds of people working for both hospitals. And, mm-hmm. and I mean, that's a prominent accounting firm in town, but still, that's a little work group there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you think there would be a lot of couch potatoes, you know, sitting behind doing CPA work all the time, but they were extremely competitive. And I know these two hospitals are the majority of the years, one or the other of these guys take that corporate cut back.
Well, Mary, you with Leon County, City of Tallahassee, of course, you know, some state government agencies. They're all in the mix there, too, and they're all vying for this thing.
So. Yes.
And next one coming up Saturday, October 8th, I think, at Tom Brown Park, right?
We've got it on the calendar.
Yeah, okay. That's the next Corporate Cup Challenge there. And again, if anyone wants to find out more about the Working Well Initiative here in Leon County, plans for the future, upcoming events, and all, you can just go to the website.
WorkingWellToday.org.
Okay. Another reminder here, a little piece of business we neglected to mention to you a little while ago, that you can always find perspectives online at WFSU.org. You just go to that address, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and then click perspectives, because we archive past shows. Try to have them up within a couple, 3 hours after the actual broadcast, so you guys can go back to the office and pull it up there and stream it back and say, I should have said that, or I should have said something different. A few moments remaining here. Melissa Dancer Brown, any hope for the future of this program as you see it evolving at Tallahassee Memorial? Going to continue, grow? What do you see?
Oh, it's definitely growing. We actually just decided to merge our employee program and our community program, TMH for Life, that we had started last year. So now all of our wellness initiatives are under TMH for Life. And we are doing all sorts of fun things to engage the community in wellness and just trying to have a healthier Tallahassee.
Over at Capital Regional Medical Center, Mary Weller, what's next?
Well, one note for this year, we're really going to focus on getting people moving, and we know that walking is the easiest activity that folks can do. And so we are providing a quarterly what we call RX Trek, which is a prescribed walk with an MD. And one of our docs is going to lead a walk somewhere in the community during the quarter. And I'm going to share that with the businesses that I work with and try to get them to set up walking paths around their in their places of business. We have a walking path that's – we got giant hearts, you know, spray painted on the sidewalk. So we have that walking path and we want to share it with others.
Okay. And as far as the overall program is concerned, Mary Barley, since you're still kind of driving the bus on this thing, can you even give us a preview of what we might expect for next year's CEO breakfast?
Well, I'll tell you what. Dr. Honeycutt was – he just absolutely knocked it out of the park. So we may have him back. He's always on the cutting edge of wellness. And whatever the topic is, it'll be the latest, greatest, and everybody will need to hear it.
Mary Barley, Mary Weller, and Melissa Dancer-Brown. And you too, Nagin. Thanks for sitting in with us. Appreciate it today. And appreciate your – bringing us up to date on the Working Well program here in Leon County. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Light Overalls doing all the technical stuff behind the glass today. I'm Tom Flanagan. You know, few things more iconic to this area than our treasured Canopy Roads, but they could face an uncertain future. So next week, members of the Canopy Road Coalition right here on Perspectives. Join us.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.